See, Bezos is going to space. We got to get into that later this hour. Yeah, I guess it's his money, it's his operation. But talk about jumping the line, like astronauts, like working their ass off to get up there, and there's Bezos just going for a cruise.
He owns the airline. Like, let him. Like, it's his plane or his jet or whatever you want to. What do you want to? What is that? A rocket? It's his rocket.
His rocket ship. Old Bezos paying cash to go up there. So we'll touch on that a little bit later on. What's that?
Wasn't even that much. It was like the bidding was at $3.2 million. I mean, relative terms to guys like that.
Oh, for him,
like,
it's nothing, man. Yeah,
that's
for him,
couch cushion.
Chump change for him.
That's Gord Miller money.
That's Gord Miller living the five-star lifestyle in Latvia money. That's what that is.
Exactly.
And here he is, the voice of the World Championships, and he had a great call yesterday, Canada with another golden goal. Here's Gord Miller. Five-star living, man. What was it like over there in Latvia?
It was great. You know, it was too bad that it wasn't more open. It was just opening up as we left. But, Riga's a beautiful city. Amazing history there. It was fantastic. By the way, just on the topic of Jeff Bezos, can I nominate some people to be shot into space or no? Is that,
I think you can if you have enough money. You can do that.
Yeah, like can I buy the ticket? Like, say to I'm going to shoot you into space or no?
Yeah, you can buy. I know you'd send Ray into space at some point, but
I like that idea. Yeah, that should be up for charitable purposes,
Right?
Like, not because we don't like somebody, but just it's philanthropic. I want to shoot you into space and never see you again. Kind of like that idea. It kind of felt like Canada was looking for a rocket ship after three games. They were thinking, can we get out of here and just go home? Because what have we done? And they lose the first three games and then somehow find a way to win. I mean, it was just an incredible tournament. You saw every second of it. Can you put this into perspective, Gord, how they found a way to pull this off?
It's one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen in international hockey. They're not just the first team to win a gold medal after losing their first three games. They're the first team to win a medal after losing their first three games. I mean, they scored two goals their first nine games, and you're thinking, this is going to... Canada's never failed to finish in the top eight. This is going to be a catastrophe. And Andrew Mangiapane came out of quarantine. You know, they faced three softer opponents. They lost their second game to the United States. They lost their third game to Germany. So they come back, and they beat Norway. Adam Henrique scored a big goal. Mangiapane started scoring. Darcy Kuemper played better. Then they play the Russians. They like eight things had to happen, for them to make the quarters. Like, and they all had to happen. Right down to the last game of the preliminary round, Germany and Latvia had to end in regulation. If that game had gone to overtime, they both would have qualified and Canada would have been out.
That's crazy. That's
so all those things happen. Then they beat the Russians in overtime. Then they played their best game of the tournament, I think, beating the U.S. in the semis. So they beat the two teams that finished first in their group. And then they beat the defending champions from Finland, who, had like eight guys back from their team that won in 2019. I just think, when you look at this tournament, I give a ton of credit to the guys that went, especially the Canadians and the Americans, who, by the way, flew home today together on the same charter. But I give a ton of credit to the guys that went over and played this year. Because normally the World Championship is a great experience. You go to a fantastic city. You bring your family. Hockey Canada does a great job for them. And you play high-level hockey, and you go out for dinner, and it's a great experience. This was none of that. They were fully bubbled. Their families weren't there. There was no audience. There was no crowd for the most part. So you didn't have all the stuff you love about the World Championship. There was none of that. So I give a ton of the credit to the guys that went and dug down and figured out a way. I mean, if Gerard Gallant's stock as a coach can be any higher, I can't imagine. Like, unless he finds a cure for some disease or something. Like, he was unbelievable.
That's where I was going to go. I mean, they lose the first three. Did you happen to chat with anybody from management or coaching from Team Canada? And were they patient? Were they losing it? Were they kind of dumbfounded? Like, or did they have confidence and go, hey, we can get this going? Or was it like they just feel like they found a miracle as they got rolling?
Well, Connor Brown said after the third game, the loss to Germany, that we've beaten everyone but the goaltenders. and you kind of go, wow, you know, that's just, you know, let's look on the bright side of this. But realistically, you know, Gerard Gallant was very sort of, and it was interesting what he said after the third game. He said, we got to win four in a row now. So let's go win the next one. So our goal now has got to be to win four in a row, and even that might not be enough, but let's do it. And I think that, you know, now it's a different situation than coaching your NHL team, obviously. You know, you're not dealing with a club team here that you got to work with all year. It's a short tournament. I think one of the most interesting things about this whole thing was, I mean, a bunch of things, but Owen Power, in the first game against Latvia, played 7 minutes and 50 seconds, I think. In the semifinal against the United States, he played 27 minutes and 50 seconds. An 18-year-old kid who hasn't been drafted yet. You know,
yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. It's impressive. Incredibly impressive, Gord. So I know you've been holed up in Riga, Gord, but I'm anxious to hear, and I'm sure you could hear across the Atlantic the sounds of the choking and the crying emanating from our great city here in Toronto. What did you make of the Maple Leafs surrendering that 3-1 series lead to the Canadiens?
Well, I watched it. I watched the games. I mean, sometimes I would cheat in the morning and watch them on, you know, just kind of go fast forward a little bit. But, you know, a lot of guys over there were talking about it, you know. So Brian and I.
Go ahead, Gord. This is your moment. Go ahead.
No. No, it's not.
Yeah.
We had a conversation 3 summers ago, I guess.
Yep.
3 summers ago?
No, it's been 3 years since 91 signed here. I think that's what we're talking about here.
Tavares signing, yeah, okay.
It's been 3 years, yeah. So, and I asked the question at the time, can a team constructed like that win a championship and win playoff rounds? And, you know, I didn't say it couldn't, but it's never been done. And the question that I hear all the time from management people and from players, even over there, was, like, are they going to make a big change? Are they going to move one of those core four forwards and give themselves some leverage elsewhere? Like, when you look at, and you know what? I want to make this clear. Every team in the NHL would love to have John Tavares. Every team would love to have him. But in a cap league, only a very few can afford him. And my point that day, Brian, and you were right. Yep. It was the wrong day to say it. My timing was awful. And I get that. But I still don't think they needed them. They added to where they were strong. And, you know, of the 18 highest paid players in the NHL, one is left in the playoffs, Carey Price.
Which is an incredible statistic. And
right. Now look at the payrolls of the teams that remain. Colorado's highest paid player is Mikko Rantanen, just got his new deal. He's at 8.5. You know, who's the highest paid Islander? They're like 7 or 7.5, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Not even sure that high.
Well, it's Anders Lee. He's injured, though. So, I mean, yeah, outside
okay,
of that.
Okay, so, you know, who's the highest paid Bruin? Is it still Tuukka Rask?
No, it's Krejci at 7.25.
Or Taylor Hall now, I guess.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah, they acquired Hall at the deadline. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Yep.
So just because it hasn't been done doesn't mean it can't be done. Like, maybe you're the Washington Capitals, the Detroit Red Wings. You just keep knocking on the door, and then one day it opens. But I don't know. I go back to what I said that day, Brian. I just don't know if you can afford this.
And to this point, it has been clear that they have not been able to make that work. I mean, they haven't won a playoff round. Forget 17 years. The last 3 years since Tavares got here. And on the flip side of it, Tavares rolled through town. Lou Lamoriello went the other way, and the Islanders are on the verge of winning multiple playoff rounds through 3 years.
Okay, but hang on a second. Hang on a second, because there's a couple things there. Number one, Lou Lamoriello, you know, left some bad contracts behind in Toronto.
Yep, and he wanted Tavares. They went hard after him. They were going to give him a lot of money, too.
So you know, and the Zaitsev contract, the Marleau contract, those were Lou. And the second thing is with the Islanders, and he deserves some credit for what he's done there. What shouldn't be forgotten is the work that Garth Snow's group did there. And Garth Snow got mocked a lot and everything else. They drafted really, really well. And that core that they put in place there, what is the core of this team?
Well, I mean, one thing I guess Garcinoe did not do was hire Barry Trotz, who kind of fell in their lap, but true.
Well, but don't forget, he had the previous ownership.
Yes, and that's a big thing. Lou showed up, Trotz showed up. Yep.
Yeah, who weren't going to spend the kind of money on Barry Trotz that the new owners did. So, I mean,
and Varlamov has been helpful, but you're right. No, there's no disputing it. I mean, I'm not saying that the Leafs made the wrong move. I'm just pointing out what happened there, where at the moment, everyone was like, look at this trade. You got Tavares coming to Toronto, Lou's going down there, giving Komarov a 4-year deal. He's going to bring Martin in. Everyone up here was laughing at them, and now the Islanders could go up 3-2 tonight and could be on the verge of a semifinal appearance within the next 72 hours, and the Leafs are still sitting here wondering what the hell's happened, and they can't figure it out.
So for Toronto, you're really at a crossroads here in a couple of respects. Number one, do you move on from Freddie Anderson? Probably.
Yeah.
You know, do you move some money out and maybe take a run at Dougie Hamilton as a, you know, a free agent D? You know,
I don't know if they can find that money. I think they look at their D and their. Go ahead, Noodles.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's a foregone conclusion that you use Freddie's money somewhere else. Like, you bring in a tandem goaltender with a two in it, you know, 2.5 can play. So that, you know, that's where I think you're going to save some money there in net.
So let's, if we have a second, let's just look at this historically, okay? So let's look at the last 10 years Stanley Cup champions, okay? 2010, Chicago. In goal, Antti Niemi. 2011, Tim Thomas. They tried to give him away the year before. 2012 is L.A., Jonathan Quick. Hadn't played in the playoffs before. 2013, Chicago, Corey Crawford. Hadn't played in the playoffs before. 14 is Quick again. 15 is Crawford again, but he got pulled. He was destroyed in the first round of the playoffs. 2016 right. and 17, Pittsburgh was using guys off the street at one point. Mm-hmm. 2018 is Washington. That's Braden Holtby, who didn't start the playoffs as the number one guy. And 2019 is St. Louis. Jordan Binnington, who was in the minors in February. And the year before that, he was a third stringer in the minors. And then you got Vasilevsky, who's a star. Now, go back through those teams again and look at their defensemen. You've got Norris Trophy caliber defensemen pretty much all through those teams. The exception is Pittsburgh. Letang was hurt a couple of times. But you're talking Duncan Keith, Zdeno Chara, Drew Doughty, Letang when he was healthy.
John Carlson.
John Carlson, Alex Petrangelo, Victor Hedman. Like, for me, the commonality of great... If you show me a team that's got a great defense, I think they've got a good chance. Now, the Islanders are a bit of an anomaly with that. They don't really have a superstar Norris Trophy caliber defenseman. But to me, if you have a top five defenseman in the league or a top 10 defenseman, you've got a chance, a really good chance. And I think that's the common thread there. Now Toronto's going against that grain, but historically, with the exception of Carolina in 2006, it's hard to find a Stanley Cup champion in the last 25 years that didn't have a Norris Trophy caliber defense.
Well, and the irony of this whole conversation is that, you know, Tavares, they and it's not John's fault, clearly. You know, he signed the contract, he's come up here, he's given them everything. But by all accounts, Petrangelo was wanting to come to Toronto. Whether that's true or not, I've heard that from multiple people. He woke up prepared to sign here, and they couldn't make it work because they couldn't make the money work, and in large part because of what had happened two summers before. And that's the position they find themselves in now. And I don't think they're going to – like, what would your level of shock be if they decided to make a drastic philosophical change here in Toronto, which would obviously have to include one of the four going – and really one of the three, because Willie's at 6'9". You know, that would loosen the load a little bit, but...
Well, but you're not trading Tavares.
No.
You're not trading Matthews.
Yeah, it's one guy. Matthews. It's one guy we're talking about here. It's Mitch Marner, basically.
Yeah, I don't think you do that.
Okay, so then they're just going to keep going to the well, you know, which is what I expect
or some of the other options have been talked about. Do you trade Morgan Rielly a year before unrestricted free agency? And you know, wait till free agency comes. It's what, July 28th, mm-hmm. right? And then move Rielly. If you were to get, say, a Dougie Hamilton in free agency or whomever, or make, you know, I mean, do you do something like that? I mean, because you got to pay Morgan Riley next year.
Right.
You do. Yep. You know, you got Hyman up this summer.
That one will be interesting. I know that'll be, if he stays, it's a debate, is what's his cap hit look like? What's his marketplace look like? Like, I look at a guy like Darnell Nurse, who's going to get paid and took a big step in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Like, does Riley look at Nurse's new deal and go, I'm looking at that? Or, who would his comparables be in the league? Because it's not your clear-cut superstar ones.
No.
But
no, he's lower down
the
list. Yeah.
Right.
Look at his point. Look at his points. I mean, and you're going to say, you know, on the open market, I mean, what would the Vancouver Canucks pay for him?
Right. Local kid. You know,
local boy, good guy.
Yeah. What would Seattle pay for him in the second year? You know, like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing is, it's like the Rolls Royce owners, right? You only have to sell one. Right? Like, he only needs one team to really want him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Guys, the answer is, the number one thing they've got to do is hope that the other commonality of great teams, they've got a core that they drafted after the first round. Guys that they picked after the first round. And Toronto's got some signs of that. But, you know, Chicago, the 1 year Chicago won the Cup, they had 13 guys they picked after the first round. Right? Duncan Keith was a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. Nick Jalmerson was a fourth. Crawford was a later-round pick. Like, they got a ton of guys later. So they got to hope they draft and develop some guys. But it's really hard when you're paying four forwards half your cap.
Right.
Well, that's been clear.
And Brian, that was my point to you that day, and I get that Christmas Day is the day to ask how you're going to pay for the gifts. I get that. That is not the
Scrooge.
Day to do that.
Scrooge.
Right?
But your point was well made. I mean, that's the reality they're dealing with today, Gord. I mean, there's no disputing it now. You know, they're still good players. They're going to be a good team. I think they'll still be a good team next year. But can they close?
You know what? You look at the Washington Capitals all those years, right? And all the different things. I called a bunch of their Game 7 losses in overtime at home. You know, they just – and I remember clear as day walking out of the rink after Game 2 against Columbus in 2018. There's an outdoor terrace outside the rink, like a bar there. And hearing a guy say to his buddy, here they go again. Why do I even invest in this team? Why do I even go to these games? And in game three, they put Holtby back in. They go to overtime again. I think Boone Jenner hit the post in the first overtime. And then a puck goes in off Lars Eller's leg. He wasn't even looking. And they win in double overtime, and they go on to win the Cup.
Yep.
That's what people are waiting for here. I guess we'll leave it there on a high note, and maybe they can do what Canada did over the course of a few weeks.
Well,
overseas.
Hey, listen, you know what? It's a game played with a rubber disc on ice.
That's
it's
right.
It's bound to be unpredictable.
Thank you, buddy. Great job as always, and we'll do it again soon. Thanks for this.
Take care, guys.
There's Gord Miller, a TSN hockey commentator, the voice of the World Championships, and had to bring up the Leafs, Dave. You just had to go there and let Gord. Listen, Gord, he's been hammering that home for a while, and until he's wrong, he's right, and that's where they stand.